The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to get passionate about sports talk. This is Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. These two talk with the experts and are the experts when it comes to what's hot, what's next, and what will be in the sports world. Let's get this show on the road. Here's Luther and Micah.
Welcome, 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 welcome to another very special episode of Cheap Shots. I'm Micah Warren along with Luther Broughton. Somebody just had a big birthday.
That's Luther, right. You know,
yeah. How many fingers did you turn, Luther?
Oh, God, I turned a bunch of fingers.
We would need four people.
That didn't sound that we don't need, well, four people, sure, but not the whole four, not all their fingers, because it's like 32.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's, right. Luther is 40 now.
That's
He's
right.
a man. I'm 40.
I'm 40.
That's hilarious. And yes, Luther posted that probably four times on Facebook throughout his birthday. And it was the fifth picture of the Kraken next to your chair that explained it.
Yes, dude. I've been waiting for years to be able to post that. Ever since he did it, I figured I'd post that when I turn.
Well, anyway, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Eagles over Dallas. I mean, I know it seems like a long time ago now.
It's still fresh.
When you watch that game, everyone saw it on Thanksgiving. So this week we can at least talk about the Eagles, and everyone will have seen the game most likely. We got out of hand, but it could have been a lot worse. If you look at that game, the only thing you can complain about is red zone. And that's really all you could complain about. They just whooped them in every other facet.
Can you explain to me why the Eagles have red zone issues with every coach? It started with Andy, and it's just going and going and going and going. Why can't we get our red zone situation squared away? We have big wideouts.
Yes.
And Riley Cooper.
Wasn't that why we had to get rid of Deshaun? Because we needed big guys for the red zone.
Exactly. We got rid of Deshaun, and then we have Jordan Matthews, Riley Cooper, Zach Ertz, Brent Celek, and Macklin is no tiny guy. I mean, why can't we get this done? Why are we running the same stupid rollout play where we're on the phone or we're texting and we're like, okay, I bet they're going to run this. Or you say they're going to run a different play. It's one or the two. Really? You can't have two random dudes watching the game hammered being able to pick your plays. Dude, from the 20 to the 15, you disagree, and maybe because you were thinking I'm talking about a little bit closer to the end zone, but we need to run more screens. I say you mix it up and run screens from the 20-ish. No matter if it's a slip screen, it's a screen to your backs, run some screens, change it up. Run some quick-hitting stuff where you could run and catch and run. Throw a five-yard pass. He can make them run for a couple yards, and now you have second and two, second and three. You have to put yourself in a better position in the red zone. We keep going for the immediate home run, immediate score. On first down, we can get a first down and still go have a go at it. And then, to your point earlier you made off the air, when we get down to the five, what the hell are we doing?
I don't know. I mean, I initially do disagree with the screen in the red zone, but you're right, 15 to 20 is still the red zone. There is a little more room to operate. And the reason I don't like the screen when you get down closer to the goal line is There's nowhere for anybody
that's
to get
not,
caught. They're backed
that's
up against.
That's not what I'm referring to. I don't want us running screens from the five. There's not much room. You can still do it, but
they can do wide receiver screens,
quick screens, wide receiver screens. But still, you know what, Micah? How about anything that's different from what we're doing?
Why is that though, Luther? Explain this to us. You played. Why is a guy that's known as so innovative and sharp as Chip Kelly. How can he be struggling down there? Why him?
Well, I think it's because Chip is stubborn. I think Chip thinks his stuff is going to work regardless. So he just has to keep running him, and the players have to get it right. No, Chip, you need to adjust. You need to change it up. It's becoming predictable. Yeah, it works, but not when they know it's coming. It's becoming predictable. But let's not complain too much, and let's talk about that game.
Yes.
So apparently LeSean McCoy is not ready to retire. He's not washed up. Apparently Mark Sanchez can go without throwing a few easy picks. He looked solid.
It's amazing what happens when they run the ball.
It's amazing.
You can't ask Sanchez to just keep passing the ball. Problems are going to happen.
It's amazing what happens when you run the ball with confidence.
Exactly, and that's what they did. Let's actually take a quick call here, Luther. Let's go to Jose in Jersey City. How's it going, Jose?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Phenomenal.
Ben, how are you?
Good. So, you know what? I have a question about Sanchez, but you guys also brushed upon a point, so kind of is there going to be a hybrid question? So, guys, if Sanchez wins a playoff game or two, what do you guys predict for the following season? Do you think
I'm sorry. You said if he wins a playoff game or two?
Yeah. Do you think the Eagles will re-sign him and bring him as competition for Foles? Or what's your prediction?
What an awful decision to make.
Hey, that's a fantastic situation to be in, Jose. I think if Sanchez wins a game or two, one, Nick Foles is under contract. And Sanchez signed a 2-year deal. So they don't have
1 year. He's on a 1-year deal.
He's on a 1-year deal.
He's on a 1-year deal.
Well, if Sanchez wins two games in the playoffs, guess what, Jose? I don't think we re-sign him. You know why?
Someone else will overpay him.
And good for Mark. But if it gives us a decision to have to make, and we have a guy who is actually a starter, who's better than who we have, I don't really have a problem with it. But I don't know if he's head and shoulders above Nick Foles and you overpay him. But then again, if you let him go, then Nick Foles is about to be up, and then you have to pay him. So fantastic question, Jose. I don't
like this question at all. It's not easy to answer. I hate this question.
I love the question.
What do you do if Sanchez wins and looks good doing it? Are you comfortable committing? Look, somebody else is going to commit to him. They're going to commit money to him.
Yep.
So if you want to keep him, you have to do the same. Would you?
I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. But guess what? Jose's question is if he looks good and he wins a couple playoff games. Well, damn it, if he wins a couple playoff games, we're probably either in the championship game, or if we luck up and get a bye in the first round, we're in the Super Bowl. We might want to commit to that guy. We just might.
Look at what
I don't
the
know
Ravens
if I have
did.
A huge problem with it.
You because otherwise, let's say you get to the Super Bowl. Maybe you win the Super Bowl. Who knows? You're faced with pulling a 2001 Ravens. If you remember, they win the Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer. They went and got Elvis Gerback.
Yeah.
You ditched the guy you won with, and Gerback stunk.
Stunk. He smelled like me after a hungover night. Stunk.
I guess I have a second question because you guys talk about the red zone. We drafted Zach Ertz pretty high, and, you know, just checking my fantasy team, he's been pretty non-existent.
Yeah, he's on ours, too.
So my question to you is, how come we're not utilizing the double tight end sets or the three tight end sets like a lot of the people in the league are doing?
Jose, I am actually trying to find the number, a direct line to Chip Kelly, so we can get him on the line right now, and I want you to repeat your question. Can you explain to me why we aren't utilizing that guy? We fell in love with our wideouts. It's kind of a good problem to have when we're super productive on offense, but we have forgotten about Zach Ertz. He has disappeared.
I'm not a tight end like you who played in the league or any just a novice of football, but I was always taught you need to attack the middle of the field.
I agree with you.
That'll open up the running game, and it'll then eventually open up the perimeter for you. So that's what I always thought, that you would always try to attack the middle of the field.
Yeah, I have some explanation.
It's kind of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it at this point, Jose. But guess what? You're going to have to start utilizing those tight ends. What happened with, it looks like Mark Sanchez is quite comfortable with Brent Celek. And I don't have a problem with it using either of the tight ends, but I don't think we're getting enough usage out of Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz has the opportunity to be really good. I think we need to utilize him more, specifically in the red zone.
Right, but there's another reason. Who else is Sanchez comfortable with?
Jordan Matthews.
Who's a big dude. He's a big guy,
and guess what? Those positions interchange because he's just not lining up at tight end. He's lining up 4 yards, right. 2 yards away from the tight end spot. We're actually using that position, but it's not with the tight end in the game.
I think their bigger problem with Zach Ertz is his blocking. You know how Chip gets with his blocking.
Mm-hmm.
And Brent Celek has...
What tight end can really be is a dominant run blocker?
Got really good. Celek is really... He made himself into a blocker because he wasn't before.
Jose, to your question, it's not that he isn't a great... He apparently is a poor blocker. He's on the opposite end of the spectrum, apparently. I don't watch game film, but apparently... From what I've heard, he's a poor blocker. So he doesn't have to necessarily be a dominant blocker. He needs to be adequate, and I've heard he's been adequate. But
understandable.
I think he needs a chance to work in passing downs. In obvious passing downs, he needs a chance to work. Let him get better on the fly, and let him get some run in obvious passing down.
Gotcha.
Any other questions there, Jose?
No, you guys are knowledgeable people, so I appreciate you guys shedding your opinion and some light.
Jose, I have a question for you, though. How are you an Eagles fan in Jersey City?
I'm from Philly.
All right, that's my guy. I lived up there for a while, too.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's kind of fun when the Giants are that bad and you live up there. It's kind of neat.
They're terrible. But I hate Giants fans, and I always tell New York people, New York is a baseball city. You know?
Oh, of course. It's a Yankees town.
Yeah, so I always say they love the Giants. Like, you guys don't really embrace the Giants, because if the Eagles won 2 Super Bowls in the last X amount of years, you know, we would, you know, we know that. That football is the number one sport in Philly.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm still enjoying my 2008 World Series.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm enjoying our old championship.
Thanks for the call, Jose. I appreciate it. Give us a call anytime.
All right, cool, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Jose. Appreciate you.
So, Jose has tough questions, and I don't like them. I want the easy questions. They're so much better.
You want a lob?
Yeah, I want the easy lobs. You know, why is Mark Sanchez playing? Well, Nick Foles is hurt. I can handle that. What do you do? I don't want to think about that. What if Sanchez does play well at the end of the year? Because, Luther, you and I both know, if he's playing, let's say like he is now, which is doing a good job managing games, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Nick Foles ain't coming back when he gets hurt.
No,
when he gets healthy,
because it's not been 2 weeks; it's been 3 weeks now, and apparently he's going to be out a little bit longer. They're not just going to pull him out if he's playing well.
Nor should they.
I don't see it. Nor should they, because Nick was not playing the greatest. And you know, I was really critical of Nick, but I'm not saying you dump the guy. But all I'm saying is Sanchez has not stunk it up. He is not. The things that bothered me with Nick were the chuck him up in the air interceptions. And Sanchez, he airmails a couple of them every now and then, but he doesn't just chuck them up trying to get plays. So I'm okay with him, man. I am absolutely okay with him.
Right now I'm okay with him. Look, we'll get to more of this on the other side. We got to take a break. But we'll see you guys in a few minutes. This is Cheap Shots.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience. So he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time. Get ready for an unpredictable, fun, and sometimes sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
Back here on the other side, 888-346-9144. Give us a shout. We're just talking football. I guess we'll keep talking about this Eagles-Cowboys game.
Actually, I have to cut you off because, and I know this isn't a topic of your expertise, but I know you've been studying up. I'm proud of you.
Keystone Pipeline?
College football.
Oh, right.
Let me run down the current rankings, the brand new rankings that just came out. Alabama's still number one. Oregon's number two. Guess who's number three?
Arizona.
Come on.
Florida State.
No. TCU is number three.
Okay.
The TCU team that lost to Baylor, and Florida State is number four.
They haven't lost.
Mind you, Florida State is playing with fire every week, but they're undefeated and have won, 28 straight games? No way should TCU be ahead of Florida State. Now you got me defending the school that I hate. I'm a Clemson fan, so I hate Florida State.
Wait a minute. So didn't Florida State start the year number one?
They started the year number one.
They're now four and haven't lost a game.
They hadn't lost a game. I don't care how much they play around with fire. They win games. They win games. Florida State can't be number four. They can't be number – TCU lost to Baylor. Baylor's number six. TCU lost to Baylor. I can't get this out of my head. TCU lost to Baylor, and you still have TCU – three spots ahead of Baylor. TCU lost to Baylor. You realize I just said TCU
lost
to
Baylor? What happened when TCU played Baylor?
Fucking Baylor already beat
them. Language!
Baylor has already beaten TCU. I don't care if they came back from 20 points down in the second half. They beat them. You lost to Baylor. You should not be ranked ahead of them. Florida State has not lost a game. I can understand you saying, man, maybe we'll put Florida State behind Alabama and Oregon. But Alabama and Oregon have both already lost a game. Florida State's undefeated in a BCS conference. Don't get how they're number four. I kind of want Florida State to win the championship now.
All right, yeah, let's root for Jameis. Didn't you say, weren't you telling me though that Arizona was doing well? I don't watch college football.
Arizona Wildcats? Yeah, let's talk about Arizona Wildcats because they're ranked number seven in the nation. Guess who their head coach is?
Rich Rodriguez.
Rich Rodriguez, a guy who was a little bit interested in me coming out of high school. Just a little bit. I say a little bit. He was at Clemson.
West Virginia?
Clemson. When he was at West Virginia, he was interested in my brother, who was impatient and couldn't wait until they got done with their BCS bowl game, and he signed with Oklahoma State. I'm a man, I'm 40, was the head coach, but that's another topic. Anyways,
no, he wasn't there
Arizona,
then, was he?
Huh?
He wasn't there then, was he?
Oh, my brother played for Oklahoma State when that happened.
Mike, what's his name? Gandy or
Mike Gundy. But listen, so let's talk about Arizona. Head coach, Rich Rod, built that program up. Rich Rod got just spit on at Michigan. He was blamed for all of Michigan's problem. But somehow, Brady Hoke went 10-2 with Rich Rod's recruits and commenced to going downhill ever since. And this same Rich Rod fella went to Arizona and turned that program around. And they're a top 10 team, top seven, as a matter of fact. They've already beaten Oregon once this year. And guess what? if they win out and end up beating Oregon in a championship game, they can be in the top four. They will have beaten Oregon twice. They will be in the top four. But he was the problem at Michigan. He was the everybody's blaming him. He was the absolute problem at Michigan. He wasn't a Michigan man.
They said that when he took the job.
Yeah, they said that when he took the job. So,
I don't know who's responsible, but somebody destroyed that program. And I personally just – I've always enjoyed – look, I don't like college football really. We all know this. But I do enjoy watching it sometimes if I'm watching potential pro prospects. And Michigan used to be filled with them.
Michigan still is filled with them. They just can't win with them.
Well, that's not good. How good that can they be?
That's like Georgia. And a lot of my friends, especially from college, from Georgia, they're huge Georgia fans. Georgia has the most they're stacked with NFL talent, and they'll lose the stupidest two games and fall out of the championship race.
You could say that about Clemson too.
Clemson.
Look at some of the talent that has come out.
They don't
out
have
there
as much talent as Georgia year in and year out. I am biased towards Clemson, but we don't have as much talent as Georgia year in and year out. However, you're right. We've been super talented over the past couple of years. I mean, look at the offense.
Taj Boyd
was good in college because he had C.J. Spiller, who then turned into Andre Ellington, and then Sammy Watkins, Nuke Hopkins, Martavis Bryant, the tight end for the Colts, Dwayne Allen. I'm sorry, stacked on offense, and they just seem to lose the important games. They lose to Florida State every year, or they lose to Georgia like this year. But I don't get it. I don't get it. But
all right, let's go back to pro football, because that's a lot of time I just allotted for college.
What, dude? I'm sorry. College football is about to be on fire.
Right? I know. I know.
It's the playoffs, which I guess
I do want to see that. I do want to watch the playoffs. I really do.
I can't piss and moan too much. I really, really don't understand why they couldn't do eight teams. But you know what?
Baby steps.
Micah, it's better than the BCS.
Right.
We say baby steps, but Division I AA, which is now called FCS, we've had the playoffs for years.
I know.
Years. And somehow it doesn't take us away from classes and cause issues with schedule.
Oh, yeah, they care about that. Yeah, they really care.
Exactly. Come, give me a break.
What's fun, you know what, Luther, you know what boggles my mind is the NCAA is just like every other organization. What's most important to them? The
money.
Students?
Money.
Exactly.
Money. It's a billion-dollar organization. They're the mob. They freaking take all the money off the top, and they suspend Todd Gurley for getting a couple $1,000s for his own autographs. He wasn't selling weed. He was signing his own autograph because he made his name. But Georgia can make money off of him.
Right.
Georgia can, but he can't make money off of himself. And meanwhile, the guy comes back and he tore his ACL the first game back. That situation was just sad to me. That pissed me off.
Even if it's like a bowl situation where you'd get sponsors, make each round of the playoffs a bowl.
Make
stupid
round
stuff like that all the time. The bowls don't mean anything anyway. I don't get it.
Guess what, Mike? You only have to win six games to be bowl eligible. Ooh, oh, it's okay. You can be a very average student, and I'm going to make you the valedictorian.
Right.
Like, what the hell? I don't know.
We won the Weatherlock Copper Bowl last year.
Yeah,
who
like,
cares?
What? The AARP Pampers for Adults Bowl? What?
I can understand the colleges caring if they're getting money for being in those bowls. So they're like, yeah, we made a bowl, so I got paid for it. Fine. What do the fans care?
Well, they get to travel and get hammered.
You can do that anyway.
Yeah, but you know how we are as fans.
I don't feel the need to travel to a bowl game.
Well, you went to what? BU?
I went to Boston University, which, by the way, the last time I checked, which is probably a week ago, we're number one in hockey. That's right. And we got some super stud. So we got that going for us, which is nice. But you're right. I don't care about my football team. I went to school there, and we would lose to Maine like 55-6. Maine.
Maine.
So, yeah. Well, you know who the quarterback was? Do you remember the Foley brothers? Remember Glenn Foley?
Yeah.
His brother Kevin was our quarterback. He wasn't bad.
Really?
Yeah. He transferred from Maryland because he wasn't going to play over Scott Milanovic, and then after he did that, Milanovic got busted for gambling.
Do remember that. I do remember that. Interesting.
That's too funny. But anyway, so Luther, getting back, we talked about the Eagles and the Cowboys a little bit before. How concerned should the Cowboys be?
Mm.
I mean, because they didn't even – an injured, banged-up Romo who should not have been playing in London. You didn't trust Brandon Whedon to give him a break against the Jaguars.
Okay, listen to this, Michael. The Cowboys, they won the game. But we could say coulda, shoulda, woulda, all we want. They won the game against the Giants.
Right.
But the Cowboys could have been setting themselves up for kind of a free fall. Because, okay, the week before they beat the Giants, the week before they beat the Jacksonville Great Jaguars, they lost to the Redskins. They lost to Arizona. They won against the Jaguars. They came back and probably should have lost to the Giants. Then they lost to the Eagles. That would have been 1-4 over that 5-game stretch.
After you were, I mean, not blaming you, you weren't wrong necessarily, but you thought they were the best team in the league not long ago.
I thought they were the best team in the league.
And you can make that case.
2-3 in their last five games.
You know what I hate?
Probably should have been 1-4.
It tends to make the Cowboy haters look smart, and I don't like that. When they talk about, they tank at the end of every year, and I'm like, it's not really true. And then they go and do it, and you're like, oh, I guess they're right.
I hate the Cowboys, but it's clear why I hate the Cowboys. I was an Eagle football player. I was drafted by the Eagles. We hate the Cowboys. Fine. All the Cowboy haters, and it's partly because the Cowboy lovers, they become obnoxious.
Right.
But that's fine, too. I mean, when you win Super Bowls, you can talk about it. I know it's been a while, but they still had a dynasty.
Still won them, yeah.
But they became so obnoxious until they turned the haters into super haters. They're like Pac-Man. You know how when Pac-Man gets his pellet?
Yeah.
When the Cowboys lose, that's pellets for the haters. They just expand. But truth be told, I'm a little worried about the Cowboys because I don't think Romo's healthy.
I don't think he is either.
He looks like he's walking around so gingerly.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw when he got pressure and what did you call it? Turtled up?
He turtled up. He went right down.
There was the pressure wasn't there yet. So,
yeah, the regular Romo spins out of that and makes something happen.
Yeah.
He was just going down. And if there's something not right with him, Luther, forget it. Either he's not going to play well or they're going to bring in Whedon and he's going to stink.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That was my... I was high on them a few weeks ago. They can still turn it around. I mean, if they win their last four games, they're 12-4. How can you sneeze at that? But I don't know. I don't see them winning their last four games. I see them going 2-2.
I think they might have issues with the Bears on Thursday, but we'll get into that after the break. I have a somewhat decent draft story I can share on either side. So we'll just take a break, and then we'll get back to it in a few minutes. This is Cheap Shot.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
this week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav. That's presented by Outdoor Channel.
We're going after elk, and our hunting party will include executive producer of Realtree Outdoors, David Blanton, audio writer Tim McWelch, Cabela's optics manager, Phil Severinson, and award-winning author, Keith McCafferty.
Did you know that elk threaten each other by curling back their upper lip, grinding their teeth, and hissing softly? That's what Jim does.
And it's presented to you by Outdoor Channel at OutdoorChannel.com.
Friday afternoons at 1 Pacific time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
Yeah. Give us a shout. You know the deal. 888-346-9144. I'm Micah Warren along with Luther Broughton. And I have to admit something here, Luther. I'll do it on air. I was wrong about Justin Hunter this fantasy season. Luther was ripping me mercilessly because I love Justin Hunter this year.
Well,
I
love him. Complete wood for him. Turn it around.
He's been terrible, and now he has just been placed on injured reserve, ending his season.
Ooh.
So I was officially wrong, and I have two fantasy team records to prove that. I really tanked in a couple. Our team is still alive, though, Luther. That team is not even good.
Dude, no, we have good coaching.
It's all coaching. It's definitely Belichick. Coaching. Speaking of coaching, Luther, I want to tell you this. So I was talking to someone in the Jets front office a few days ago and just kind of just spitballing, whatever. And he's telling us about some of the draft stuff they used to do, how they would have like, and Luther, you could speak to this too. Like you go into a room, you're meeting with teams, you're a nervous kid. This is your future. You want these people to pick you. They would have them go around and let's say 8 to 10 guys, 8 to 10 executives and coaches. And they would all say, introduce themselves, shake his hand. And then they would point to someone and be like, now what's his name? And the kid's like,
random execs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The kids never met these people before.
That's the dumbest. Wait, go ahead.
They dropped people down their draft board that didn't do well at this. I mean, this is a professional team.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. And so they dropped talent down their draft board because the guy was focused on football in school and college and didn't know who the freaking exec is?
No, just the fact. Let's just say I put you in a room with 10 people right now. You've never met any of them. You shake hands with all of them, and then I go back to number four and be like, what's his name? You just got 10 names introduced to you. How are you going to remember who's Dave and who's Mike?
That's stupid. That's absolutely stupid, and that's why the Jets suck now.
They dropped Dwayne Bowe because of it. So this is how smart this is. So there's another tactic they did, and again, I don't think people realize, a lot of college players don't watch a lot of NFL. They don't – in general, I think everyone assumes that every athlete's a Luther. Where you're just like this freak fan. It's not true. You played and you're a fan. But just because you played doesn't make you a fan. So these kids don't know anything. So they brought them in. They would bring the kids in. And all the coaches. There's coaches and executives and scouts in there. And they would say, the head coach of the New York Jets is in this room right now. Which one is he? And they said a lot of these kids didn't know. I think it was Mangini at the time. And a lot of the kids didn't know. And they were pointing at the scouts. They knew when it was Herm Edwards, they knew he was black, so they would just pick a black guy. So one of the guys came in. I forget his name. I don't want to – I probably shouldn't repeat it anyway. I forget his name, but he goes in, and they do that to him. And they're like, you know, the head coach of the New York Jets is in here. Who is he? And Brian Cox, the former Dolphins linebacker, was in there. He was the coach at the time. So the kid kind of looks around because he doesn't know what he's doing. And he points at Brian Cox, and he goes, I'll give the brother a chance. I thought that was hilarious. Like, I don't know. Let's try that. Let's give him it. Let's try him.
That is an unbelievable way.
So stupid.
Evaluate talent. Oh,
it's absolutely ridiculous. And we talk all the time about how you never know with these kids. So I guess everyone's looking for some way to try and to change what they're doing so they can better project. Clearly it didn't work. They've stopped. They haven't done it in years. But I just thought that was hilarious. I mean, the things that teams
stupid.
You remember the year Andy Dalton came out, an unnamed scout said was talking about how
his red hair.
Yeah, but it was kind of offhand. He was like, you never know with any of these things, any indicator. We've never had a red-haired quarterback, so who knows? Media ran with that. And he's like, no, I didn't mean that. I was just saying you never know. He wasn't saying because he has red hair that could be a detriment. He was just like throwing it out there when people say, I don't care if he's green, purple, yellow. Like, no one's green, purple, or yellow. That's just stupid. He was just exaggerating to make a point. But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, now do you have any draft stories about when you were being scouted and when you had to meet with teams? Did anybody ask you anything? Like, I mean, you know, the Dez Bryant story about is your mother a prostitute? I doubt you got that one. But did you get asked?
I didn't get anything weird. It's not like I had a ton of people asking me a ton of questions. I was freaking fifth rounder. They were like, oh, this guy, he might be okay. Let's bring him in and run him a little while and see if he can catch the ball. If he runs real well, we might take a flyer on him late in the draft. I mean, it wasn't – I had a really good meeting when I went to Carolina. Don Burrow was the tight ends coach. Matter of fact, he lives in Charlotte. He's retired, and I still talk to Coach Burrow. And he was really – he said, I watch your film. I really like you. You play fast. And some guys come in, and they run a good 40, and they play at a 5 flat and a 40 speed on the game. And we just sat and talked, and we talked about Wesley Walls, and he talked about how much he liked who was the tight end for the Ravens for the past, a really good tight end past like 8 years from Arizona State.
Oh, the first round pick, big white dude.
Yes.
That brought his wife around in Hard Knocks.
Yes.
Todd Heap.
He loved Todd Heap because Todd reminded him of Wesley Walls. Okay. And he kind of reminds me of Wesley Walls. But no, I didn't have anything that crazy. I don't have any good stories on that. I'm going to go ahead and disappoint you.
That is kind of disappointing. Like, people tune in to hear stories. They want to hear your stories.
I don't have any good stories on that.
No fake injury stories? You know what's funny, too? You're talking about a fifth-round pick. The draft used to be 12 rounds, and you always wonder if coaches and executives are thinking this stuff. And the guy was kind of telling me years ago with the Giants, he was telling some story. He's like, it's the eighth round at this point. And everyone's like, who cares? Right. They really didn't even care. When it gets that late, it's like, I don't know. I like this guy. He's fast.
Right. They take chances on, I mean, it was 12 rounds, Mike.
12 rounds.
And you didn't have a limit on like your practice squad. Because the Redskins with Joe Gibbs, remember how good they were?
Yeah.
They had like a minor league. As soon as someone got hurt, they'd plug someone in because they were practicing like in full. Coach Bro would tell me how much they had their players ready, their backups ready, because they had so many players signed on their practice squad and they were just ready to go. And he said they'd pay him well. And, they'd stay on the Redskins for, like, the minimum salary. And it's like, hey, we're really good. I got a chance to win here. But
that's a lot of extra dough, too. And that's not Dan Snyder. That's Jack Kent Cook probably, right?
Yeah, but come on. The minimum in the league was less than
it wasn't much. You're right. It wasn't a lot.
It was less than 100. So, you dig it.
Have you noticed this Ray Rice apology tour going on?
Oh, God, yes.
They're doing the Matt Lauer interviews, and there's something really awkward about it. There's something really awkward about him standing with Janae and her parents.
Dude, you know what? Everyone deserves a second chance for whatever.
Okay.
I think. Okay. Not for everything, But I don't need his second chance to be a national tour. I don't care about your national tour apology. I know you want to get back in the league. And guess what? I agree with him being his suspension being lifted. He shouldn't have been suspended indefinitely in the first place. You suspend a guy for two games, and then you change your mind and say, oh, everybody's seen the tape, let's do something, and you suspend him indefinitely? No. If you had suspended him 6 to 8 games like you should have done in the beginning, then we wouldn't have even had this issue, and he would have been available to play now. So let's get past the whole, this proves the league is so wrong. His suspension was lifted. It shouldn't have been indefinitely anyways.
What's hilarious about indefinitely, it comes across, especially with the way the NFL handled this, indefinitely means until we can think of something.
Until
right now, we don't know. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to fix this.
You know how stupid fans are. They think indefinitely means forever. They think it means infinity. You know we have some idiots that we deal with. But anyways, I'm sick of that. His tour. I'm sick of his wife saying she's not a victim and nothing really has happened to him. I'm like, shut up, girl. You got knocked the hell out. You're a bit of a victim. But you know what?
She looks like a victim. She looks like sad something weird about there's something weird about all of it. And now she's even saying that she shouldn't have apologized. And she was only apologizing to the NFL. Like when she apologized for her role, supposedly she was only...
Well, she shouldn't have apologized for her role. Of course the Ravens made her do that. I mean, that was really weird.
He said she was doing it to lessen the blow on him.
Of course.
Because she knows where that paycheck comes from.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on one hand, what if you looked at Goodell's stance like that? What if he really did suspend him for 2 games almost as to lessen the punishment on her? That's her money too.
Man, whatever. So if that's the case, then we should have all the players' families come in when they fuck up and give some strong speech. Oh, I know Greg Hardy. I'm sure his mom can come in and give an enlightened speech about saving her son, right? So that's horse crap. Don't give me that. Do not give me that.
Well, I don't know if that's the reason. I have heard that Goodell really didn't want to punish him hard because he didn't want to take her money too. And it does take her money. I get that. That's whatever. I just watching them on TV is just incredibly awkward. And we all know it's aimed at putting a fresh new face on Ray, and it's okay, and it's somebody sign him, please. That's what this interview, I was watching some of it with Matt Lauer. It just comes across as someone please sign me. Someone sign my husband so we can get paid again.
Nobody's signing him this year. People forget he started to suck already. He averaged 3 yards a carry in 2013. 3 yards a carry. He wasn't the greatest at that point anyways.
And that probably hurts him more than anything, Luther.
That hurts him more than anything. If he was as good as Adrian Peterson was, he would have been signed already.
And so that's why I don't get the people that are, the Raiders or the Jets will pick him up. Where are you getting that? Why would they do that?
They forget so fast. They forget so fast. People are saying that Michael Jordan is overrated. They forget so fast. People are already trashing Kobe Bryant as just a guy.
No.
Well, he's just a guy now coming off of multiple injuries, but they're acting like he was just a regular player in his career because he's at the end of his career. People forget too fast, and they've already forgotten that Ray Rice wasn't a transcendent back, and he was already on his downhill spiral.
So if you're the Raiders, are you thinking, you know what, I got Darren McFadden, who's toast. I got MJD, he's toast. Where can I get another one?
Why would I introduce potential controversy on my team for a guy who's not great?
It doesn't make any sense. And you know what, Luther, we got to take another break. We will wrap this up on the other side with the fourth quarter coming up of Cheap Shots. Back in a minute.
internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at VAPressPass.com. That's VAPressPass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neill. He's at
the shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
Wrapping things up on Cheap Shots as we head to the 8 o'clock hour. And Luther, one of the things I want to talk about, I feel bad for them. Tyrann Mathieu needs thumb surgery. He's out 3 weeks. They already lost Carson Palmer. The Arizona Cardinals can't score. Drew Stanton doesn't look good. They don't run the ball well. Ellington's banged up. I don't know. The Arizona Cardinals started 9-1. I don't know that they're going to make the playoffs. They might not.
Dude, that is going to suck if they don't make the playoff.
Poor Cardinals.
That's kind of sad for them. I mean, not that.
Really sad.
Football ain't fair. Life ain't fair. Blah, blah, blah. It sucks. The way it's going down in Arizona. Arizona has a team that could win it. They could win it. That defense, if they had any type of quarterback play, they could win it. Man, that
maybe. I mean,
they can. I'm not saying they're the favorites, but they can. They can't anymore. As much as I didn't like Carson Palmer, he was a serviceable quarterback with a top-notch defense. You right. can win in the NFL that
And
way.
Two great wide receivers. And even though Floyd hasn't really shown it, they haven't really thrown the ball a lot either. But we'll segue into something I know you wanted to get to, because the Cardinals' defense is now without Tyrann Mathieu. They've been without Darryl Washington all year, which is a big deal. And they've been without a lineman named – what's his name, Luther? Darnell Dockett. What did you want to talk
about? Did you see the deal with him today? He's making comments about President Obama's little daughter's body.
Yeah.
Like some Instagram pictures. He's like, oh my God, check. Really?
It's just not smart. I mean, it's not like it's some girl you don't know. You're like, oh, she could be 21. Who knows? You know how old the president's daughters are. You could figure that out. You could Google that.
It's irresponsible. I had some people on. I saw in another group calling him a pedophile and this that.
No, it's not that. It's just irresponsible.
But I can tell you that he's a completely irresponsible dude. You are a celebrity. I don't care what you think. You are or aren't. You're a celebrity, and you can't be talking about the president's this teenage girl's body. You just can't.
And you could go back now and talk about like Chelsea Clinton's body, but no one ever really did that.
Yeah, well,
she was not a good looking girl. When I was at BU, there was a joke that said, how is Massachusetts like the White House? Both have ugly Chelseas.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, really only people from Massachusetts understand, but you get it. So, yeah, I mean, just I don't know why you would do that. Moving on,
Well, speaking of irresponsible, how irresponsible is for Dave Gettleman, GM of the Panthers, to not make any attempt on protecting his quarterback? In terms of adding linemen.
Eric Winston was out there.
It's a joke out there. The Panthers' offensive line is a joke. And the Panthers as a team, I don't know. I know the Raiders just lost 52-0. Let's take the Raiders out of the equation.
You can't really. Okay. And I want to get back to the Raiders, but go ahead and make your point about the
Panthers. The Panthers might be one of the worst teams in the league. Like, really bottom dollar.
Are they worse than Tampa?
Yes, right now they are.
I can't say they're worse than Oakland. Here's a question I have for you, Luther. Really, the only correlation is that they're brothers. David Carr got pretty much ruined. I'd say, what, he got sacked 76 times his rookie year with the Texans?
Yes.
Derek Carr has not been brilliant. He was awful the last game. But he's shown you that he can play a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're 1-11. He got shellacked last week. I think he had a passer rating of 50.5. Do you sit him down? The Raiders say they aren't going to sit him down. Do you?
No, you have to let him play. He's already in there. You've already let him play up to this point. You got to let him play and learn from it. But you have to protect him. If they can protect him and let him make his mistakes, I'm okay with it. But if he's getting shelled like his brother did in Houston, you can't. But he's not just getting shelled like what was happening in Houston. But it's tough. I get your point, man. It's tough seeing.
Because if he loses his confidence, then what have you done, really?
Well, if he loses his confidence, then he doesn't need to be an NFL quarterback.
That's true.
So.
That is very, very, very true. So, moving on. What else we got here, Luther? What do we got? Niners trading Harbaugh. It is pretty much a foregone conclusion that guy is not coming back. And this is what I don't get, Luther. You've seen plenty of coaches win while treating their players with respect and treating people with respect. Harbaugh is like a good old-fashioned dick. No one likes him. Why do you have to act that way?
That's who he is. That's who he is. So if the players seem to love him.
Do they?
They seem to. I mean, he doesn't get along with the GM. And if you don't get along with the GM, that guy's not going to bring you back. But you know what? Let him go. Let him come to a team that I like. I bet they'll win. Bill Parcells was a complete dick. Complete. But his players loved him. They were loyal to him.
They didn't really love him. They played for him.
They didn't love him. They loved winning with him.
Right.
I'm sorry. You know what, dude?
Have to go, Luther? If he's winning games, before he came to the Niners, they were going through quarterbacks, through coaches, Singletary, all of it. What was the other? The Nolan. And all of a sudden he comes in and they're consistently winning.
You know why he has to go? Because sometimes during the draft process, certain teams bring players in and they ask them if they know a certain guy in the room. And if they don't know that guy in the room, they drop him down their draft boards. Because some of these teams have idiots running them. That's why. Listen, I don't know what's going on in San Francisco. I just don't. I know the guy's a great coach. I know he's won everywhere. He won at San Diego. He won at Stanford. He turned to San Francisco. He turned every single team around he's been on. Say what you want to say. Say what you want to say.
I thought that's what it was about. I thought it's about winning.
I thought it was about winning. I'm sorry that he's not your best friend, but he's a winner. So, you know I'm a little bit biased. You know I like the Harbaugh brothers. You know I have a relationship with them. You know I played with Jim for a hot minute in Carolina and had a pretty good relationship with him. And you know, John coached me in Philadelphia. Right. And John, what's crazy is John is like the nicest guy ever. John is the nicest guy. And Jim apparently is gruff. So I'm a little bit biased, but guess what? The guy wins. So yeah. So should they have kept Nolan as the coach because Nolan was nicer? No. No. Absolutely not. I mean,
so I don't fully understand that the rumor I heard when the Browns were looking, the, you know, they had been, this is not new. They've been trying to get rid of him for a while. And supposedly the going price was 2 third-round picks for the Browns. If I'm a team that can't get its act together, here's 3 third-round picks. 2 third-rounders.
Right.
To add stability to my organization.
Act together. And what you want for a great coach is some third-round picks or whatever. You know, picks are valuable and you just don't throw them away. But there are not that many great head coaches out there that takes the teams to the freaking championship and Super Bowls every year.
Well, I'll say this, Luther. If you're looking, if your team is so bad and you're looking to trade for Harbaugh, you probably haven't been doing a great, responsible job with those third-round picks in the past.
Thank you.
But our time has come, Luther. It is time to say goodbye. So, any parting thoughts, Luther, before we head out?
You have to sing happy birthday to me before we go.
Wow, that's awesome. It would be great if I did that, but we are, tick, tick, tick. We are out of time. I'm
showing Micah my middle finger.
Maybe we could do that next week. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to Jose for giving us a shout. We didn't have a guest this week. It was just me and Luther shouting each other for an entire hour. But right. Hey, we'll do it again next week. We'll be back here next Tuesday on Cheap Shots. Peace out.
God bless you.
Thanks for being part of the show. Luther and Micah will be here for another edition of Cheap Shots next week. Remember to catch us live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. in the West and 7 p.m. in the East on the Voice America Sports Channel. Let's talk again soon.